You will sleep better than you have ever slept. You've never been this relaxed. Are you ready to change your life?
I'm Rusty Diamond, certified hypnotist. You don't need to leave your house. You can stay in your bed. You can stay in your favorite chair. You just need a computer or your phone. You can get a hold of me. Stay at home. I'll make your life better.
HypnosisIsGreat.com.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.
Yo, man. Bonus Rusty. What is happening, everybody? Welcome to the Public Access Podcast. The podcast now out of Pennsylvania. The podcast. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you if you are on a listening platform and you're listening. And you're thinking, hey, I like this podcast. I wonder if they do this in video. And the answer is yes. Yes, we do. Yes, I do. But me and my guests, it's a we. Well, you can go to YouTube. You can go to Rumble. You can find it there. And you can watch it on there. And if you're watching it on there and you think, yeah, I love the content, love his guests, but I don't want to look at Rusty's fucking face. Understandable. So that's when you just go anywhere you listen to podcasts, except for you, Mr. Hipster, wherever your obscure podcasting platform is that I don't know about. It might not be there, but it might. Someone might have put it there because it's that cool with that cooler guest. And speaking of cool guests, it's time for me to bring on my special guest right here and right now. And my special guest right here and right now is Lauren Connolly. Thank you for being here, Lauren. How are you doing?
I am great. Thank you for having me on the show, Rusty. When I said I listen to your show, I listen to your show at 2x speed. So that's the first time I've heard your intro. It sounds drunk. Have you heard it at 2x speed?
Are you the music?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
It is a very catchy beat at 2x speed.
Okay. Maybe I'll have to go and check it out at 2x speed. Maybe that's the way I needs to be released because it's Rusty Dumb, motherfucker. Does that part sound weird when it gets is 2x speed? Or I always have a really slow speech pattern. So it's like, yeah. It's just like Rusty Diamond, mother. So is it like it's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker?
It's like it's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's really. I mean, I told you it lives rent free in my head. So maybe that's the route you need to go. But now it's going to sound weird.
All right,
because then it'll be 4x speed when I listen to it.
That's a good point. So maybe it's just a special event for you and people who want some Easter eggs. They can go and check it out at 2x speed. And I feel that this podcast maybe should go at 2x speed or at least 1.5. There's no reason to listen to me at 1x speed really anyway. So like, why not just go and listen it at 2x speed? It's like I'm a New Yorker and
I have ADHD, so I listen to everything at 2x speed because it helps me to focus.
So when you're doing that, are you wearing like what kind of headphones are you wearing? Are you wearing like noise canceling or are they like sort of noise canceling so people can come up behind you and tap you on the shoulder or some shit?
No, usually I travel a lot. So it's usually in my car, in my Jeep, which has a soft top. So it is very loud. So Music's cranked all the way up at 2x speed, and yeah, rocking out.
All right. So I often make sure I yell out really fucked up things in the middle of episodes. So when you're driving by people, I can just start, yelling out stuff, and if it's loud enough. So it's like having a megaphone, but somebody else having a megaphone with my voice. Welcome to AI.
That's right.
Okay, and so you're usually listening in your car. I mean, that's a good place. That's where I feel like I got a lot of listening, was either in the car or on the bus or walking around. And I don't do, I'm on a cycle like where I'm not doing that very much right now, or else if I'm doing some very mundane task, I can get down and listen to some podcasts. But and then I'll listen for like, half the day. And but now it's not listening as much. It's I don't know. I need to get back to being in a place more where I can be podcasting. But I guess I'm podcasting now, so
I
but I
get
like listening to. Yeah. So and you were in Cincinnati, right?
I am.
Okay. So first thing I want to bring up is and you have an animal connection. And I don't know if this is like, sorry if this is fucked up, which is a great fucking way to set something up. So Harambe,
I knew that was going to
what
come up. And you have an
really?
episode title that says Dicks Out for Harambre. And I thought you guys were going to talk about it so much more than you actually did.
Well, we were going to. I because that's something. Okay, yeah. So yeah, that shout out to Clifford Myers right there. So Harambe, what was your, I don't know, what are your thoughts on it, or were you close to that situation at all, or like
Closer than you
in
might
general?
think. I worked at an aquarium that is very close to the Cincinnati Zoo during the time that that happened. So I know a lot of people in that industry and also that work there. So it's a hard situation because obviously the child shouldn't have been in a place where they were able to fall in, and that's a horrible situation when you have to put an animal down that's just, doing what it instinctually does. And yeah, I mean, it sucks all around. So, and I know they've made
Yeah.
changes to that area so that, people can't accidentally fall in, but I have not seen it yet.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't mean to just kind of like drop that on you. So I'm like, this might be kind of fucked up, and I like right off the bat just jump in with that. Okay. So then you're in Cincinnati. I gotta talk about Cincinnati some more. So, are you let's see, because there's a couple people that I kind of, I don't know, I guess friends with. So there's some that do like reselling. Are you into any of that kind of stuff? Is that anything that you ever do out there? Is there, or into buying old stuffs?
Oh gosh. We do the like Facebook Marketplace and that kind of thing, or where are they
Yeah,
selling?
that or go, yeah, or I guess, yeah, like I don't know, 'cause they both have like YouTube shows. That's how
Really?
I got yeah, there's one called Cincinnati Picker, and that's kind of how I got in. I was watching these people before called Treasure Hunting with Jeebus, which is, a whole thing. But this guy, his dedication at the beginning, so he said he was going to go dumpster diving every day until he found, or until like, and then posted on YouTube until like he got big, and then he did, and then he started doing other things, like got into what's it called, those storage lockers and shit, like those storage locker auctions. And I don't know, but yeah. So then I got into the Cincinnati Picker thing because I'm like, oh, Cincinnati, that's like hell yeah, dude, Cincinnati. And so yeah, there was that one, and then he had these friends on there. It was called Mojo Catcher, but now I believe it's called Mojo Dojo or something. But they find all kinds of like cool, like I don't know, cool stuff that we had growing up, I guess, like. That would like we'd see it now and be like, oh, that's pretty fucking cool. In a very detailed way.
I am gonna have to follow those guys. I am not against like garbage picking. One of my favorite posters I have hanging up in my house, I found in the trash at the Forum Apartments 20 years ago in downtown Cincinnati.
Oh, shit.
And I still have it. It's my favorite. So I will garbage pick stuff. But as far as like buying used stuff from people, our first drone that we bought, I own a drone company. So the first one we bought was off a Facebook marketplace, and we learned the hard way that you should probably, I don't know, test it before you buy it, because we brought it home, the video didn't work, and we messaged them and they blocked us. So totally got scammed. Thankfully, we were able to fix a bunch
Oh,
of things
shit.
and make the camera work. It was like a $300 Holy Stone drone. Very difficult to fly and work with, but that was our first one. It was a really bad first drone experience, but yeah, you just never know.
Yeah, you never really know on Facebook Marketplace. I've actually started going, well, it depends how expensive the thing is, but where I live right now, there you can go to the police station. And you can do the deals at the police station, which is kind of cool. But then testing it, I guess you still kind of would have been the same thing. I bought a video game system from someone at the police station, and then I brought it home. So it could have not worked, and I would have been in the same deal as you were. And I don't know. Yeah, it's always interesting buying shit. You never really know. You hope it's gonna fucking get there and be cool. And so then, what got you into droning to switch it up?
Gosh, well, we got to go back and talk about Skyline in a little bit, but to talk about
Ooh,
finish up
okay.
the drones. In 2020, I was furloughed from the aquarium. Eventually, they wanted me to come back, and I'm like, no, I kind of like not being there. So I was at a point in my life where I'm like, God, what do I do next? And my husband was retiring from the military, and I kept seeing ads on line for people wanting drone photography for real estate. And I looked into it a little bit more. I love taking pictures, and I'm like, how cool would that be if somebody pays me? And I'm flying a little unmanned, thing. I'm piloting it. So that's how we got started in that. And we've been doing that for 4 years now, and it's been a ton of fun. But there's a lot of Karens out there in the world that are like, quit flying your fucking drone.
Ooh, what happens with them? Do they say, I don't know, do they get on some sort of like I'm seeing them on Nextdoor app or something? That would be the spot. So I have my sister-in-law told me all about the Nextdoor app like a few years ago, and she told me I had to go and get it from where
Drama.
I lived in Oregon. Tons of drama, and I'm just like some guy that I think I was in Minnesota then, just like watching this stuff. So is that where the Karens go, or is it Facebook, or are they calling you? Oh, it would
They
be hard to
will
call you. Are you?
get right up in your face while you're flying. And it's
Oh,
very
shit.
difficult. Yeah, according to the FAA, unless it's like a public park or a national park or like military or an airport, you can fly. The airspace is public space. It is not controlled by people. You can fly a drone, and people do not understand that. So there was one time I was out in Jersey, and I was trying to get pictures of my aunt's house for her. And to get the angle, we had to go back, and we were over somebody else's house. Totally safe. We follow all the rules. We have our 107 certification. And this guy comes flying down the street in his truck, screeches on the brakes, and he's like, "What is so interesting about my house that you are over my house?" And I'm like, "Who are you?" "I am filming this house right over here." "Well, who is that?" And I told him the name. I don't know who that is. I'm like, well, they've only lived on the street for 40 years. So he kind of felt like a jackass.
Yeah, why did not?
And we're like,
yeah,
here's our 107 certification. We are fully insured and certified. We've had people in our own hometown, like next to apartments. They think that because there's a drone in the air, oh my God, you're spying in our window. No, there are other businesses. We're not even pointed in your direction. So it makes it very difficult to do the job sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's also just people who are going to fucking be that way anyway, sort of for that part. No matter what you're doing, they're going to fuck. I mean, that's what they get off on, is stupid shit like that. And so, I mean, they're going to do it regardless. And it's, I don't know. Yeah, they fucking like the attention of, you know, oh, yeah, like, They got to be fucking looking at me because I'm so fucking interesting. They're probably spying in my fucking place because, man, am I sexy? like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, are you paying me money to do this? So, like, why would I even be doing that? Like, that's a waste of my time and my money. So, fuck off. And so, but then are you telling people who you are, or are you able to say, hey, fuck off? To their face, and I have to worry about trying to like put on some sort of something to be like, I'm representing this, don't fucking leave me a bad review.
So my Jeep I was talking about earlier, it is bright blue and it has our logo on it. We also go out in our uniforms that have logos on it. We always have brochures prepared. It depends on how nice somebody is when they approach us. If they're pretty cool about it, like, hey, you know, what are you doing? I'm a little uncomfortable with this. If I'm able to talk to them, I will ask, hey, do you want me to get a picture of your house or, you know, your property or something? And what's your email? And I'll send it to you for the inconvenience. And, cool. You know, thanks for being cool about it. And we've had instances where they are yelling at us and they've called the cops, and we try and de-escalate the situation. And, you know, here's a brochure. We are official. Like, and if I was peeping on you, why would I be standing out in the open in a bright blue Jeep? You know what I mean? Like, let's right. think about this. So then in that point, we have to wait for the cops to show up and show them all of our certification, show them that, you know, the drone's registered and all that. So just, you know, be nice to our drone people. We're not all bad.
Yeah. And it's I mean, it's crazy, like, the stuff that they can do with those they, when I left Utah, they had just introduced it where, like, Walmart and Walgreens could deliver to people's doorsteps. And then, yeah, like, I don't know, it's cool. It's a cool thing. And, like, I don't know, not a lot of people wouldn't want to see their house from up high. Like, that's what the whole point of, like, living in an airport path. That's like, it sucks that you live in the path of an airplane. But if you get to fly on the airplane at some point, then you get to go in on that path and fly over your house. Be like, oh, there's my house. But yeah, you get to do it without that.
A bright blue Jeep, you can see it from an airplane, because I've seen my house from an airplane just because of the Jeep. You said path, and that reminded me, did you get to see the solar eclipse?
This one?
Yeah.
That just happened? Well, here's the thing. So I...
That's a no.
I was... Yeah, I was playing Grand Theft Auto right through it, just the whole thing. I didn't even look outside.
Are you even in the path?
So I kind of. I'm over. I'm out of it, I guess, a little bit. I'm in, like, I don't know, sort of near Philadelphia.
Okay.
So it was still. I think that there was a lot of totality of it, but I didn't even look outside to check.
Gosh, man!
But you have a yeah. Well, I figured I would again, like, going back to social media, I'm sure I would see a bunch of videos of it, like fireworks on the 4th of July. People like to post videos of fireworks, so I could just go and see it on there. But you had a drone, so you were able to drone the eclipse.
We thought about droning the eclipse, and then we decided against it because we, okay. I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. So I was totally buying into a lot of this shit that people were saying. And so I knew I wasn't going to fly it, because I'm like, what if, you know, all radio communications and everything go down during that time, or, you know, whatever. Oh, yeah. We have a drone in the air. And my husband didn't fly just because he wanted to be present and kind of experience it. I know I had three cameras going, but not a drone, though. And I was in the path of totality. We drove a couple hours just to be in totality. And it is, you can't see it from a picture or a video. It is a full ass experience. Like, I can't even explain it. It is a 360 sunset all around. Seeing the corona, which is like it looks like white angel hairs coming out from behind the moon. It is just unbelievable. It's like being on a movie scene. Like on a set of something, you're just standing there like, is this real life? It was the coolest thing in the world.
Were you looking without glasses or looking into one of the things? Did you look straight on with your eyes?
Well, I can see you, so no. The thing. Up until totality, you have to wear those protective glasses. And then once totality hits, then you can take your glasses off. You're not going to see it with the glasses on.
Yeah. So the last one that came around, I was living in Portland, Oregon. And so like it hit like totality was maybe like a half hour, 45 minutes from there. So I got to see that one. So you see did the ant was weird the animals? That all the animals start coming out and they're like, oh yeah, what the fuck's going on? That was, I guess that was something I noticed.
Yeah, the birds got really chatty. And then once it got dark, everybody just kind of got quiet. And it got about 10 degrees colder during that time. So yeah. It's just, again, it's just a whole experience.
So what were you doing? What, like, were you just... Were you there to watch it? Were you, I don't know, like having some moment? Were you experiencing something? Were you talking about something? Were you trying to do something? Were you, I don't know, tripping balls? Probably not, but maybe.
No, we went because, well, we are big nature nerds at my house, so we love stuff like that. Like, every February we'll go see the salamander migration. Right now the blue herons are nesting, and we got a couple great horned owls nesting by us. So we specifically seek out really cool nature experiences. Like, we're putting in for the lottery at Great Smoky Mountains because they have the synchronicitous fireflies. So you've got thousands of fireflies that are all blinking at the same time, and it's supposed to be really cool, but there's a lottery to go see it. So we look for events like that. My other job is Wild Development Studio, and it's all about wildlife and finding different ways to get people to go outside. There's tons of different ways to go out and experience nature. Just find the one that you like.
Yeah. And so then are you... droning, is that the right word to use? I just like saying droning. It sounds cool if it's not the proper vocabulary usage.
I think that's exactly what we use too, and I don't know that that's right or wrong.
Okay, so when you're droning, are you able to, like, if you were near the fireflies, could you do that? Could you drone near them and capture it? Or like you said, like with the owls or the herons, are you able to kind of go sort of close with that with the drones, or is it kind of fuck with them?
Well, for the Great Smoky Mountains, we most likely would not be able to drone that, only because it's on a national park and you would have to file for permits to be able to fly there. And I'm not sure it would show up on a drone at night. It might, because you got thousands of them all lighting up at the same time. So that would be really cool. But as far as like the herons and the owls and things like that, drones are very loud. It kind of sounds like a giant swarm of hornets or something like that. So we try and be very respectful and stay away from, especially if you have a wild animal that's nesting. That's, I've got a 600 millimeter lens. It's a huge camera. So I usually film my wildlife with that. So we'll stay away from wildlife. And there have been times where we're droning. We've got a castle right down the street from us that this guy made by himself. Whole ass story with that. But I love droning that. There's a hawk that lives by there, and he will come out and try and attack our drone every once in a while. So we have to like be on the lookout for that, because that could cause damage to both the drone and the animal.
Right. How cool is that, or that footage there, though, of it coming to attack the drone?
I wish it was pointing the right way, but it
okay,
was not.
Running away.
Yeah, and we were flying our thermal drone when it happened, so we were actually able to look at the footage and see it in the tree line using the thermal later on. So that was pretty cool, but we didn't get the actual like attack. That would have been badass.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So this guy's castle. What's up with the guy building a castle in Cincinnati? It's the Queen City, but maybe that's why.
Well, it's okay. So it's more Loveland. So it's close to Cincinnati. It's one of the little towns close to Cincinnati. And in World War II, this guy went to fight. Was it World War II? Maybe one. I don't know. Anyway, they thought he was dead. They alerted his wife. She left him because, you know, he's dead, but it wasn't very long. He's alive again. And finds out that his wife left him for someone else. So he decided he was going to stay in Europe and tour all these castles. When he came back to the US, he decided he was going to build a replica of the castle and just do it in Loveland. And he used river rocks. He made some of his own rocks using like milk cartons and cement. And it is a fully functioning castle. He ended up dying in his like late 80s or 90s because he was cooking up top on the castle, caught fire, and later succumbed to his injuries. But there, it's called the Knights of the Golden Trail are the people that currently run it, and they run tours, and they have like music festivals and stuff like that. And yeah, it's a pretty cool place.
So how do you get to play a music festival there? And like, what kind of bands are there? I mean, that'd be a fucking badass place to, who wouldn't want to play a fucking castle?
I know. I'm not sure how they do that. I know they do like there. We've been to bourbon tastings and wine tastings there a couple
cool.
years ago. I don't drink anymore, but yeah, they do that kind of stuff. So that's fun.
Yeah. So okay. So you don't drink anymore. What do you do in place? What's taken its place, or was it like completely cutting that arm off of it, or is there something that you did to like, I don't know, to, I don't know. I got into sparkling water, but it took me fucking forever. But and ginger ale with lime. What is there anything like that with you, or did you just kind of cut that whole arm off?
Well, when I first quit, and it was cold turkey, I was having some esophagus problems, and I finally connected, hey, anytime I drink, the food gets impacted. And I went and saw a doctor, and they wanted to scope me every couple months and put me on all this medicine. And I'm like, well, how about I just, you know, cut out alcohol? And they're like, no, we want to give you all this medicine, of course, which is a whole other conspiracy
right.
theory.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm like, I'm going to try eliminating that from my diet and seeing how I feel first. And if I still feel like crap, I will come back and you guys can give me some medicine. I have been fine for a year and a half. Thankfully, thank the Lord.
Cool.
And when I go out, I will do sparkling water and grenadine. That's like my
cool.
my fancy drink to make me feel like I'm not missing out anymore.
Yeah. And it looks like it could be something. So, you know, if someone comes up to you, like, what are you drinking? I don't know. It doesn't always look like a Coke or something. You get a Coke or something there. But yeah, and that's another thing. Like, I don't know, it's hard with alcohol. Like, it's not really good for a lot of people's bodies.
I
But
don't miss waking up in the morning and feeling like crap all the time. I look back and I'm like, I don't understand how I was functioning like that all the time.
right. Well, I mean, it's a little harder. I couldn't imagine being my age right now and trying to do that. I mean, yeah, it was hard 10 years ago. I don't think it would be any easier. And yeah, it's I don't know. I don't want to like totally preach against it, because sure it has some benefits and stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff, good research that's come about, especially peer-to-peer review, as we just did.
And it's really difficult, especially I don't know how it is in your area. In the Cincinnati area, there are so many bars and homebrew type stuff everywhere. So
I'm from Portland, Oregon. It's like the most, I think it was like one of the most in the country, most like bars and breweries. And like the city I live next to, called Oregon City, was like had the most bars per capita of anywhere in the country or world. And so like it was, kind of a thing. There's a million, everyone's got their micro breweries and shit, and local stuff. But so, I mean, it was everywhere, but it doesn't need to be everywhere. It can just be one place and you go back there. I mean, I could probably go back to the same bars and see the same people sitting in the same places. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't miss it. I
No.
miss some of those people, but I don't know. I just don't see them, I guess. But it's been, I don't know, I haven't lived there for over 5 years, so I don't know. Some of those people were nice to see. I enjoyed their company, but they're probably, they do their thing, I do my thing.
Yeah.
And so dude had a castle in fucking Cincinnati. What's kind of another kind of like weird place you've been, another weird kind of venue where it's like they shouldn't be doing stuff there, but they're doing stuff there?
Oh gosh. There's so many because Oh, Bobby Mackey's. Have you heard of that one?
What's
So
that?
that was a bar in Kentucky, Northern Kentucky, and I say was because it was very recently, I believe, condemned and shut down, but this place has been decrepit and like falling apart for years, and it was a very popular country bar, but it's also haunted. And it was
Oh.
haunted like Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
He went there. I think it was his first show, and then he went again. So those are two great episodes to look up. I went with my first podcast I was involved with, and we did a ghost hunt there, and we got a couple interesting things. Like we did the spirit box and it said my name and I'm like, nope, I'm
Oh
out.
shit.
And I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I'll go to haunted places, but I don't interact or talk with them because I believe that kind of invites spirits to or demons to be in your life. And I'm like, I'll just be a passive observer. And but it was crazy. There apparently were demonic rituals that have been done there, apparently in like the 1800s or early 1900s, somebody's head got cut off and put down the river. I mean, there's whole stories and it's very interesting.
What'd you feel when you went in there? Like, was there like, could you feel the energy being all wacky and shit? Or was it just like, it felt spooky or
I
felt
mean,
normal?
it's creepy only because we went down to the basement too. A lot of it's unfinished. They have what's called the well that apparently goes out to the river, and it kind of smells mildewy and it was falling apart and dusty. I didn't really get creepy vibes there. apparently if you're a pregnant woman, you shouldn't go there because you'll get pushed down the stairs or weird shit will happen. The place where I felt the most weird energy was at Waverly in Louisville.
What do you feel weird there? What, or like, what was the weirdness you felt there, I guess?
So the first thing when we got there, have you heard of Waverly?
Nope.
Oh my gosh, that's another good story too. So that was an old tuberculosis hospital back when that was a, like, I don't know, was that a plague? Anyway, it was a really bad outbreak of tuberculosis, and people were dying by the hundreds all the time. They had something called the death chute, where they were taking people, like taking the bodies out of this hospital down the chute so that it wouldn't ruin the morale of the people that were there.
Like Disneyland and Disney World.
Hotel California, you can go, but you can never leave.
Right.
But we got there and we did a tour of the outside. It was still daylight out, and they were talking to us about the entrance, and it was the old entrance. They don't use it anymore as the entrance. And as we're standing there, rocks were being thrown at us. It's just a doorway. There are two steps down. Have no idea how there were rocks being thrown at us. It Whoa. Was very odd. The drive down, you know, we're just jamming out down the highway, singing Whitney Houston, because that was on the radio. We're doing
Hell
Spirit
yeah.
Box later on, and the Spirit Box will scan channels, and it goes really fast. It's very choppy. It doesn't like stop on a particular channel. When we were in, I believe it's room 502, which was the old nurse room, and she had jumped out the window or something. It's supposed to be haunted by this nurse. And we're in the room with the Spirit Box. It stops on a Whitney Houston song, the exact song we were listening to, the part where it's like, she's yelling, I will always love you. It was that part. And we all just looked at each other like, what the fuck? It was crazy. So that was definitely a very, very weird experience.
Time to get out of there. And mm-hmm. So you stayed the night then after that? You got like, oh, okay. The fucking nurse who jumped out singing the and the bodyguard. Let's go to bed. Maybe.
We stayed until, I believe it was like 2 or 3 in the morning. So it was 6-hour ghost hunt. And we each had a couple hours or a couple minutes or whatever words, about an hour in each level, because there are 5 levels and then the basement. So then we each took turns. And yeah, there were places where my camera, fully charged, had no, like by the kitchen, I have no battery. It was, I couldn't record anything. Going in the next room, it's totally fine. It's like weird things like that. Like, how do you explain that?
Yeah. And I mean, so I don't know. There's some places like you just get that feeling like, yeah, probably shouldn't be here. Probably should go. It was like something that I learned maybe 2 years ago, but is kind of weird and goes against a lot of what we were taught. When you get butterflies in your stomach around someone you might have feelings for, it's not a good thing.
Really?
It's your body telling you like, hey, be fucking careful around this person. And I don't know. It was kind of, that was a lot to take in. Because then I started thinking about them like, well, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it's true, but maybe it's, it could be both. It could be just be the excitement. And yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting thing to learn. I don't know where I learned it. Probably TikTok or something. Do you TikTok at all?
Oh my gosh, so much. I've met so many people through TikTok because, you know, you start to see the things that you like in your algorithm. And so I'll reach out to people all the time for my podcast, like, hey, this is what I do. You're a good fit. Will you be in my show? And, you know, so many people have said yes, and it's amazing. And I've met so many cool people. I've met watercolor artists, naturalists from California. On the first podcast I was on, I had Mimi from the Drew Carey Show on my show.
Okay, hold on. Can we talk about Mimi for a minute?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I have been trying for years. Let's say at least 4 or 5 years to be able to find the Drew Carey Show on DVD, or you know, on a place I can watch it online for free. I guess was kind of the things we could do, because in Portland where I lived, there was a fucking this killer video store that had like, it was huge, called Movie Madness, and all these, they had seasons of pretty much any show you could think of and pretty much any movie you could think of. And I didn't start watching it there, but then maybe a year ago I was in Rhode Island, and I went over to like this thrift store and found a copy of the first season. And then my buddy just told me a few weeks ago that like, hey, here's the site you can watch shows, and Drew Carey Show was on there. And so I just started watching the first season again. And that, I remember that show being fucking good, but like, it shows, even the first season's fucking good. And the way they set up Mimi is fucking amazing. And she's so good at playing off everyone. And I mean, that's part of the gimmick of the show, that everyone was so improv-y. I'm sure there wasn't too much scripted stuff of the show. Probably some basic things to hit. But so you came across Mimi on TikTok and you're like, hey, Mimi, you want to be on my pop? You call her Mimi, of course, naturally, right?
No, we called her Kathy Kinney.
Cool.
Her real name. And
that's good. So
I'm not sure that was on TikTok. That might have been on Facebook. And in 2020, they would get on. It was her and her friend, Cindy Ratzlaff, and they're really good friends. They would get on Facebook Live every Thursday at the same time and just talk about positive, fun things. And I reached out and I'm like, hey, you know, this is what our podcast is about. Will you be on? And they're like, yes. And they were absolutely fantastic. Kathy Kinney is like a 180 of the character that she plays.
Yep.
She is the sweetest, most kind, amazing, beautiful soul, and not like the mean, spiteful, hateful person that you see on Drew Carey.
You got to be able to have that to be able to have, because it's like, you know, there's this one side, there has to be the other side, and then she's the other side. You couldn't get that good of someone being just this you love to hate. Like, you got to have that other side, like where it's like, okay, well, the yin and the yang thing, that, you know, whatever. But and so yeah, so she was cool as fuck and really nice. And what kind of stuff did you guys talk about?
They had a book that had recently come out called Queen of Your Own Life. So they noticed as they were aging that women are called crones, whereas when men age, they get more handsome and just more, I'm trying to think of other good words. You know what I'm trying to say. Like, women yeah. are usually compared to like these old hags, and they're like, no, we're going to change the narrative on this. And that their book is excellent. And so we talked about their book. We talked about how they were trying to get over to, I believe it was Switzerland, to go see the tulips, because they wanted to see the fields of tulips. I believe it took them a couple years for things to finally open back up, and they finally got to go. But
okay. Do you mean together, or did you mean Kathy?
Kathy and her friend Cindy.
Okay, not Kathy. They. Kathy, but Kathy and her friend Cindy.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just, I don't know. I was like, what, wait, did I? maybe there's something I'm missing, but I think that's what you mean, because you were talking about two, and then, okay. So, yeah. No. And so then they were just like, yeah, hey, let's be on your show. And That's fucking killer. And so, do you ever reach out anymore, or do you ever, are you gonna have her back on sometime?
I was thinking about having her on my
Or
new podcast, Wild Developments, and her friend, Kathy
them.
and Cindy, them, both of them, the queens of their own life, and to talk about the tulip fields, because that would be very fitting for Wild Developments, talking about nature and things, all things outside. But I think they would be on. That's just the cool thing about podcasting and that landscape, how 2020 changed things, because it's just so easy to be like, yeah, just hop onto a Zoom.
I love it.
And yeah, I got, well, I was supposed to be interviewing someone from Thailand last night, and we couldn't get the time zones quite right. So we're going to try again next week. She's a lovely person that started a company called Shark Guardian. So her and her husband and her kids are starting to be involved too, but they are spreading awareness about shark conservation.
Cool. All right. And they're in Thailand, and so like it would be a little harder to do before 2020. Take a little longer to get there, or call in. But yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Like, I don't have to fucking go anywhere. I don't have to go out at night anymore if I don't want to. I can watch Jeopardy and go to bed, or whatever I feel like. It's just it's nice. I can just stay here, and I like getting to meet new people, and just meet new people without having to go anywhere. I'll go somewhere if someone wants to go record a podcast somewhere, but don't need to. I don't need to go to Thailand. I'd like to go to Thailand because it seems like a cool place.
It'd be expensive.
It would be an expensive flight. I probably, if I went there, I'd probably be like, it'd probably make more sense for me to buy a one-way ticket and just stay over here for a while and live here for a while. If I'm going this way, like, may as well just move there. Let's just go to Thailand. But
Gosh, if somebody listening wants to pay me to travel the world, I will gladly do that.
yeah, I mean, why not? Why not do that? And I mean, are you, I don't know, because I mean, yeah, like anything you're doing, you could easily make that anywhere in the world, right?
I wish it was easy. It's so hard getting seen out in the social media space. So I just keep reminding myself that I'm doing this because I love talking to new people. And, even if nobody else listens to it, I'm getting something out of it. So that's why I keep having to tell myself, because again, I was in a podcast before. And I was there for 3 years. And we had a pretty large following. And I left because the things weren't lining up anymore. And the mission that I thought we were doing changed. And I'm like, well, why am I writing a book and a TED Talk and all these things if we're not following that anymore? So I started from scratch again in January. So I'm like, I feel like I should be further along than I am, but it'll get there.
Yeah. And so that's the story you've told elsewhere about what you just kind of got had to switch it up and go different way with that. You don't have to get into details or whatever, but yeah, having something like that and then having me like, okay, well, I need to leave. I need to leave. It's gonna put me back, but eventually you're gonna hit that roadblock though the other way, and then it's better to know earlier.
Yeah.
What
Our
did
whole
you was
thing
there?
was, I'm
Go
sorry,
ahead.
what?
No, go for it.
Our whole thing was exploring beyond comfort zones. And that's great. And that was something we built for 3 years. And then I was pulled aside in a meeting and they were like, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to explore what we're comfortable with. I don't think that's very interesting. So, and we've built everything around exploring beyond comfort zones. So I'm going to have to kindly leave and you guys have fun. So.
That's a good thing. You made a good decision there. I from some guy that has a podcast in Pennsylvania said it's a good thing. So, whatever that means to you. But I, it's cool. Like, I love the getting out of your comfort zone a little bit. Like, you don't have to do a lot. You just have to get a little bit out of your comfort zone each time, and easier said than done. And so, like, you gotta celebrate that. You gotta celebrate that getting out of your comfort zone a little bit. And so, I mean, I don't know. So, were you thinking, do you have more, or would you go back that avenue, or is that something that's kind of that ship sailed now?
Like back to that.
Back, no, you're back to like having a some. Thing to talk about, having a podcast of some sort of getting out of your comfort zone, or doing a TED talk or book about getting out of your comfort zone, or is that kind of past and it's evolved into what it is now?
Well, so on Wild Developments, I've talked to people that have hiked the Appalachian Trail and have done that alone or hiked the Pacific Trail. I
PCT.
talked, yeah, and talked to people that have gone to Antarctica, and to go to Antarctica, I think, is wildly outside of the comfort zone. So I'm focusing more on the outdoors and the health benefits of even just going outside in your own yard and putting your feet in the grass. There's so many health benefits, and reduction in stress and just unplugging from our cell phones is wonderful, and getting outside is just so healing. So that's really what I've been focusing on. But also there are some elements of getting outside your comfort zone. And, I talked to a guy and we talked about pooping in the woods. That's not very comfortable.
Not
It's
so
not something
much.
we're used to anymore. So, I think I'm focusing more on the nature part of it. But again, that it's something we're not very comfortable with anymore as a society. We've gotten very comfy in our four walls and our lush beds and things like that.
That's what this is. That's what I was just talking about. Like, yeah, like it's easy. And yeah, I mean, getting out, gotta have that balance though too, with getting out and doing something a little different. So what do you think about Antarctica? Where's your thoughts on Antarctica? And why can't we go there? Why couldn't you or I go there and go to Antarctica, or special places in Antarctica? Or I don't know. I guess I'm kind of leading the question now.
I
So I
was
don't
going
know.
to say that's totally a leading question because I think you, from our conversation, I think you could already figure out. I believe there is something that they're hiding from us. I mean, it is, we can go to Antarctica, but you have to go through certain people, I guess, and certain tours. You're not going to see everything, but yeah, who knows what's
Yeah.
out there? I think there's so much that we have no idea.
Yeah, it seems a little fishy that it's like you can't see what's back here. Like you don't want to. It's, don't even worry about it. Like, wait a minute. Well, then what's back there? Just
It's
let me
like the
see it.
Wizard of
Like,
Oz. Don't look behind this curtain.
right. Yeah. Like, what's behind the curtain? And maybe there'll be maybe there's a little man standing there, and I want to see that little man. So.
Which, they said that we have aliens now. And if the government's telling us we have aliens, I'm kind of not believing it because where's the proof?
Right. Where is it?
I don't know. You told us that it's there. Let's see it. We're ready.
Yeah. They told us, and then that was it. It's just like, okay, well, thank you.
And
Thanks for
then
telling us that. Like, well, what? Okay. Show us.
show us something. Like the Mexican government very soon after had that the little like petrified
Right.
alien thing, but that didn't look very real either. I'm like, come
No.
on, guys.
Yeah, and then the was it the Indian rocket that went to did it go to the moon or something? And that thing looked it looked like a some weird video game or something. It was
I missed
hilarious.
that. What do you
Yeah.
think of the moon landing in general? Do you think that was real?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, there are parts where I'm like, that seems like it could be on a movie set or something.
Yeah. I mean, that seemed more like they could do it, but yeah, some of it seemed questionable. And then also, like, I went down this thing with that, like, underwater, like, is like the suits you have to wear underwater, like, you just turn the color, and then it's like the same thing as space suit. So I mean, it just as easy to do something underwater as go into space. And then, yeah, like, and movie sets were around. Then there's the whole Kubrick thing with the moon, and I don't know. There seemed to be a lot of stuff that was questionable about it. At least makes me not 100% certain that we went there.
Well, and apparently a lot of aliens are in the water too, the submersible UFOs.
Yeah, I mean, and who's gonna check it? Who's gonna fact check that one? Fact check the
I
aliens
mean,
underwater. And I mean, I don't know. There's some crazy shit. This and it's all underwater. The underwater is just as unknown to us as outer space.
absolutely. Who
I don't
knows?
know. Yeah, and then I don't know. I don't, yeah, it's weird. And then yeah. So underwater aliens. Is that a show yet? Underwater aliens.
It should be. I'm a scuba diver, so underwater aliens
Oh.
is kind of, that adds an extra layer of terror. I don't want to see that underwater.
But maybe they're friendly. Maybe they're friendly, and I don't. Yeah, I don't know. What was it that they were talking about that? I don't know. I swear there was some video with someone talking about something being underwater, aliens being underwater. But I don't know. So, okay. So what do you do when you scuba? What's your deal? Are you there with a camera? Are you, or like, is it probably video now too? Or are you like a GoPro or something like
Yeah,
that?
I have a GoPro. I also have an Olympus that I use, and so I did a lot of diving for my old career, and so now it's just for fun. It took me a couple years to finally go diving again for fun, and when I did that, it was pretty amazing. I went to the Caribbean, and there was a loggerhead sea turtle that had wandered. It's not usually in that area. Usually they get green sea turtles and they get leatherbacks, which are the huge, like 1 ton turtles. And so the loggerhead was my favorite. I used to work with that all the time. And he was probably what I miss the most from my old career is that loggerhead sea turtle. And I thought, I'm never going to get to see these guys again because, you know, they're pretty solitary. They're not going to be around a scuba diver. We're loud. We make a lot of noise with our bubbles and everything. So when I came across this loggerhead, it was eating some plastic, and I was able to get pretty close. I was able to grab the plastic out from under him, and it turned out he had a shark bite, and the people in that town were able to rehab him, take him to another facility, I believe in the Florida Keys, and rehab him and get him back out into the wild. So it was just so cool to actually get to be with a loggerhead out in the wild. So
Yeah.
it took me a while to get dive again, but it's fun.
Sea turtles are cool as fuck. They're yeah. So there's this place in Hawaii that I go to on Maui, and they so th I like to boogie board, body surf, whatever you call it. But they go and there's this one spot where I like going. I'm not going to name it, but it's somewhere there. But the fucking turtles, they fucking ride this wave like over and over and over every time. Like, just I'll just see like a bunch of them next to them. They'll come out with the wave and then just like ride it on in with me, and it's
Cool.
cool as hell. They got the good life. They figured things out. They go to hang out in good places. And so yeah, don't be leaving your plastic around, you dickheads. If I know people on this that are listening to this show don't do plastic littering, but inadvertent, maybe inadvertent plastic littering, leave, anything you buy is plastic, and so there's a good chance it could end up somewhere like that. So
Well, we got to start with the corporations. The corporations need to change what they are selling it in so that we're not leaving plastic behind. Because even if we do put it in the trash, it could get out somehow. Like I did a river cleanup this weekend. I found a Pepsi Free can. Pepsi Free
Holy
was
shit.
from 1982. I mean, we have no idea how long this stuff's going to be around. And, we all accidentally pollute every once in a while. We don't mean to. And then you see some fuckers that do it on purpose, and that's not cool. But yeah, the corporations need to change their ways so that we can be better.
Pepsi Free is a Back to the Future joke. If that's where you guys want to put that in there with the time frame and how old a Pepsi Free can is, or it's you said 1982 they stopped.
I believe it was 1982. I was getting conflicting sources. I also
But
saw 1985, so, but early 80s.
early, I mean
I
that's a
was
long
like
time
a
ago.
baby.
Me too.
Nice.
Like that's a little bit ago. So yeah, so they don't go away. It's not like fireworks too. Fireworks don't totally explode when you go and when they blow up when they're doing fireworks shows. They don't just explode and turn into nothing. That's something. Where they were doing laser shows. I forgot. I think it was in Oregon a couple of years ago because it was so dry and there's such a high fire,
Oh,
like a
yeah.
wildfire hazard. So they just did like a laser light show.
They have the drone shows too. That's
What they do in drone shows? I've never
Oh
seen one.
God, you've never seen that? Okay, you need to
No.
Google drone shows when you get off here because
Okay.
it's really neat. It's like hundreds of drones all working together to create
Oh.
shapes and stuff. It looks really neat. I
Okay.
wish we could do that. We are a very small company, so we don't have that kind of fleet. We have
Yet.
Rozzy's Fireworks in town, and they also do drone shows. I think that's
Cool.
it's a more sustainable way, but it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, but worth it.
Yeah.
Give people something. Give them a good show. Give them a good show. And speaking of a good show, how can people find your show to tune into, and how can they work with you or anything else of that nature? Find
Yes,
you.
wilddevelopmentsstudio.com, and it's Wild Developments Studio on all the social media platforms. I do watercolor art, wildlife photography. I teach nature journaling, forest bathing, all sorts of stuff there. And then we have JL Aerial Views is the drone company. And we do FPV. We have a thermal, so we're out trying to find missing animals sometimes, and that's a lot of fun too.
Cool. That's a good way to do it. And yeah, something that wouldn't have happened back in 1982 when Pepsi Free was a thing.
That's right.
So thanks so much, Lauren, for being on. Yeah, I'm happy we got to talk and talk about whatever it is we talked about and got to where we got to. And
Oh, all different rabbit holes. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Rusty.
absolutely. I hope you have a great rest of your day and we'll talk soon. All right.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Yep. All right. So Lauren Connolly. So check her out. Check me out, rustydiamond.net or hypnosisisgreat.com. And I guess I gotta say this. Maybe it'll go at 2x speed. So it's Rusty Diamond Motherfucker. That's for 2x speed. To get stuck in your head. Like a earworm. It's Rusty Diamond Motherfucker. So thank you everyone for listening or watching, whatever you're doing. Thank you, thank you. Hope you have a awesome fucking April 25th, 2024. And that is the show, motherfucker. Now that is the show. Man, boom.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.